If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. I'm sitting with Bridget, and you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with me, Dr. Mike Roizen. And this segment is What's Toxic, What's Not with Gary Ginsberg. Probably my favorite segment of the show because I learned so much from Gary. Gary, there's a new, we have four great stories, but a fifth one just came that you told me about that is even better. Most fireworks are made in China, right?
Sure are, Mike.
And they just banned them at their own New Year's celebration. Is that right?
Yeah. Every year, New Year's celebrations, New Year's Eve in China is a little different. This year, the Chinese New Year is January 31st. And because of all the smog in China and all the concerns about respiratory health, that they are now saying that people cannot burn fireworks because it's going to add too much smog, and they don't want to have an emergency for their New Year. New Year should be a time of joy, celebration, not everybody running to the ER because of too much air pollution. So one may ask, well, what about fireworks celebrations in this country? And they are polluting, but we're not starting from a baseline of so much air toxics that even a brief, an hour-long fireworks display would throw people over the edge. Plus, in China, you've got fireworks everywhere, fireworks in the streets, big municipal fireworks displays. It's a huge deal, and so that will add more localized air pollution and particulates to an already high baseline. So people in China are understandably upset because, you know, the government isn't doing anything about all the car pollution, all the factory pollution, all the coal power plant pollution. They're not doing a whole lot about that, yet they're cutting back on people's fireworks. So this is not a popular move by the Chinese government.
Now, tell me, I've always thought that the Chinese take a week off at Chinese New Year, and they stop all their factories from going, and that should clear up pollution. Is most of the pollution due to cars and not factories then?
No, yeah, cars for sure, but it's also, you're not going to stop the power plants, especially this time of the year, it's cold there, and so you got a lot of coal-fired power plants still running to keep everybody warm, and even if the factories are on half pace, it's a good question, Mike, but you're still going to have a ton of pollution. And also, this time of the year in China, you tend to get more temperature inversions, which traps the pollution at low levels.
Sewage tells the story of your recreational drug use. Would you rather do that or skin lotion chemical kills coral reefs first?
I'd rather do both, and we could certainly squeeze both in. And let's talk about what we are excreting out and how researchers are now beginning to look towards sewage to find out what are the drugs of choice at the clubs and on the streets. Because if you're going to intervene, you have to know what people are using. And if you are worried about the synthetic knockoff that might have an unusual toxicity, well, it might be hard to find that like a needle in a haystack, but when you look at sewage, which is such a compilation, aggregation of everybody's putting into the system and flushing down the toilet, you could find the trace levels of things that may be starting to show up on the streets and at the clubs. So,
and what's,
for example,
and what's big?
Well, the kinds of things that are coming out of this new research are how amphetamine usage skyrockets near finals on college campuses. You know, you can narrow it down to that. And you know, this is not just you know, a couple of people doing it. You know, the levels just go through the roof. Trends. You can probably figure out which are the biggest party cities and which aren't, but they don't want to announce that because then all the party animals will go there and it'll make it even worse. but you can certainly see some of the trends where ecstasy is showing up. Times of the year, like weekends, ecstasy and cocaine use goes up, whereas marijuana use tends to be pretty flat all week long. Rivers will show it because a lot of the sewage outfall goes into rivers. In Europe, they're monitoring the rivers for drugs of abuse to see what the trends are and if they're interested.
So they aren't doing this at the individual sewer coming out of your home or out of any one club. They're doing it in the municipal areas. Let's go to Skin Lotion.
So we don't know exactly who is doing which, but we know as a population, we can sort of tease out who's doing it because, the weekend activities, the study-related activities. You also see economic trends. You know, as economies go down, you see less cocaine and more amphetamines being used because it's a cheaper high.
Let's go to a skin lotion chemical kills coral reefs. Does that mean it kills our own skin?
Well, that is the direction that a public health toxicologist like myself naturally goes. But let's first start with the environment. The chemical is called benzophenone, and it's put into lotions and creams, all sorts of products, including dish soap, because it protects the product from UV light. So if you have a product that you want to have a good shelf life and sit there for maybe years before the consumer buys it and uses it and doesn't break down from sunlight, they now have been putting in this chemical as a UV blocker or UV absorber in their product, and that is sort of like a preservative against harmful effects of the sun. Well, unfortunately, some studies now are showing that at environmentally relevant levels, that young coral growing in laboratory setting is inhibited, is regressed, and we are seeing a problem with our coral reef shelves in a lot of tropical places. And we're talking about billions of dollars.
Is this because the coral reefs need
scuba and fish? Yep.
Is this because the coral reefs need ultraviolet light to thrive?
No. It's because this chemical is toxic directly. It's an endocrine disruptor, the benzophenones as a family, and we don't know exactly what it is doing to the coral development, but it may have some hormonal effect that it's not allowing the juvenile coral to grow up, so to speak. But in people, we are concerned about sunblock. Now, that's the other UV blockage that class of chemicals is used in, is in your common sunblock. And on the skin, it will get absorbed, and there is concern for things like oxybenzone, one of the ingredients on sunblock. I know this is the wrong time of the year to be having this conversation, but heck, some people may be going for the holidays or for spring break down to Florida. And what we always recommend, I think Arthur Perry recommends, is that you want to go with the non-benzone-based sunblocks, which means
the zinc oxide sunblock and put it on thick enough so it's a physical sunblock. Let's see if we can do this in 1 minute. Gary.
And UVB blockage, and you don't get into these benzones. So, fortunately, the benzones are on the label of sunblock as well as on these other consumer products. And if you don't want to be doing damage to the coral reefs, if you want to be environmentally friendly, you would shy away from those on your cleaning products and your skin lotion, as well as protecting your health.
Well, I think we've run out of time, Gary, so we're going to have to next week come back and do an extra long segment because we want to know about the good and bad news about phthalates and also about lead linked to early menopause and what you can do about it if you get exposed to lead. Gary Ginsberg, great website, whatstoxic.com. He is a superb resource, and he'll be here next week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is on RadioMD.com. You can always find us. Stay well.